This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Why We Play. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. We know what play looks like with pets like cats or dogs, but what about other animals? Animals that don't seem to express their emotions to us as clearly as our pet mammals. How do you think about the internal lives of, say, birds or spiders? What counts as play for them? Alan Yu looked into this.
Today is a big day in the life of Mo, a black-headed caique. He's a small parrot, not as big as a pigeon, with green wings, a white belly, and a black and yellow head. Mo has lots of space. He lives by himself inside a large cage at the Brandywine Zoo in Wilmington, Delaware. And today he's going to get a lot of new toys.
So bells are one of Mo's favorite toys. And he's actually got one in here already, but we're going to give him all of the bells that I could find. He's going to have bell overload.
That's lead animal keeper Caitlin Muse.
So this is a new toy for him. It's basically just like a wicker tunnel. So anything that's new can be a little scary for any animal.
Once Caitlin's done putting in all the new toys, she hides small bits of food all around and steps out.
Seems like he's going to be distracted by food and not play with his bells. He's being very brave though. You're going into your tunnel, bud. Good job.
Mo crawls inside the wicker tunnel and finds the tiny kernels of corn inside. This is entertaining to watch, but why would the zookeepers put so much effort into keeping a small parrot entertained?
So we give them things that are going to encourage natural behaviors. So for these guys, they would be foraging a lot, constantly looking for food. So we find places to hide their food, spread their food out so that it takes more time to eat their food, just so it's not always presented in like a bowl.
This is called enrichment, a kind of play, and it's important work for zoos. Here's assistant curator Mandy Fisher.
There's some species where play is very important. So a lot of our primate species, for baby animals in particular, play is how they learn some of those life skills that they'll need for hunting or for breeding behaviors or caring for young can all be done through play. Some of our animals, though, it is purely exercise. They are, you know, built for speed or built for strength, or they're hunters. And so we can use those natural behaviors and design enrichment that will allow that to show.
Play is about learning for some animals and a workout for others. So do all animals play? If you want to study that, you have to think about play from an animal's point of view, says psychologist Gordon Burkhardt.
It wasn't that many years ago, several decades ago, that it was thought that birds didn't play.
Of course, we know at least one bird who would disagree.
It's our sort of biases, I think, that inhibited us from looking at other animals from a less anthropomorphic viewpoint and see that something like play is really deeply embedded into our biological roots, our evolutionary heritage.
Gordon has become one of the experts on animal play. He recently came up with a more rigorous definition of play to try and break free of the limits of our human-centered perspective. To make it very simple, he says something counts as play for an animal if they do it voluntarily over and over again, only when they're not stressed, and it's somehow different than a more serious version of that behavior.
It's not serious fighting, for instance, if you see animals play wrestling.
One particular type of spider will actually play at having sex when they're not mature yet. It's play and not real sex, because the females are far less likely to eat the males afterwards. When animals don't have opportunities to play, it can have serious consequences. Gordon says, think about how zoos used to be built. In the past, zoos were very sterile. The design philosophy was all about making it easy for humans to clean.
Lions might be in a tile, concrete type of enclosure that could be hosed down every day, and there was virtually nothing in it, of course, that would hinder efficient cleaning. Well, that might have made the animal's housing more sterile, but also completely uninteresting, and would have psychological consequences, similar to keeping people in jail cells versus in a richer environment.
Bored, caged animals can develop tics like pacing or bar biting. Another good example of this? Ravens. Rebecca Michelin is the director of wildlife rehabilitation at the Schuylkill Center for Environmental Education. She nurses injured wild animals back to health before release. In a previous job, she worked with a lot of ravens, and she says that while ravens are healing, they still need stimulation.
Keeping them entertained is really challenging because they're so intelligent that they need changes to their environment on a regular basis. They need mental challenges to keep them entertained and keep them busy. Otherwise, they'll actually start self-harming out of boredom and unhappiness.
Rebecca says bored and stressed out ravens will peck at their own feathers or even beat their wings against the side of a cage so hard that they can become seriously injured. Boredom is an important issue for research animals too. Mice and rats in labs have to live in enclosed spaces, and researchers take care to give them tubes to crawl inside and sticks to chew on. Tara Martin is a veterinarian at the University of Michigan. She says if research animals are bored and stressed, that's bad for the animals, but it's also bad for science.
An animal that lives in a barren environment is a pretty stressed animal. It can affect hormones within their body. It can affect their immune system. It can certainly affect brain development. And when you have all of those effects, they all can act as confounds on your research, or they can alter the results of your research.